You're listening to the Sentinel Speakeasy, the official podcast of the Sydney Sentinel, the independent voice of Sydney, located at sydneysentinel.com.au. I'm editor-in-chief of the Sydney Sentinel, Peter Hackney.
And I'm features editor and podcast producer, Travis DeJonk. And we're your hosts for the next half hour of news and discussion relating to Sydney. It's Tuesday, the 20th of July, as we speak, and this is episode 3 of season 2 of the Sentinel Speakeasy. Our special guest in this episode is Magic Mike dance teacher, Everton Freitas.
But first, here are the top stories you'll find at sydneysentinel.com.au. And the story that's affecting everyone at the moment. Greater Sydney continues to endure a COVID-19 lockdown with over 6 million people in the Sydney metropolitan area, the Blue Mountains, the Central Coast, Wollongong and Shell Harbour under stay-at-home orders until at least the 30th of July. Daily case numbers remain high. However, there is perhaps some light at the end of the tunnel with the announcement today of 78 new cases in New South Wales. This is down from 98 cases yesterday and 109 the day before. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian said today that she was pleased with the drop in new cases, but warned the number of people getting infected out in the community remains steadfastly in the 20s each day. Over 1,400 people have now been infected and 5 people have died in the current New South Wales outbreak, which began in mid-June. For full details of the continuing lockdown, including all the rules around what you can and cannot do, visit sydneysentinel.com.au.
The Sentinel's editor-at-large, Gary Nunn, has spoken with Wiradjuri woman Yvonne Weldon, the first Aboriginal Australian to run for the office of Lord Mayor in the 179-year history of the City of Sydney Council. Weldon told the Sentinel that not only is she the first Indigenous person to run for Lord Mayor in Sydney, but that she was the first in any capital city of Australia. Weldon said she was drawing upon her experience as elected chair of the Metropolitan Local Aboriginal Land Council, deputy chair of the New South Wales Australia Day Council, board member of Domestic Violence New South Wales, and board member of Redfern Jarjum College to bring leadership experience to her campaign. The Sentinel is also currently running interviews with Sydney Lord Mayor Clover Moore and Small Business Party founder Angela Withilkus, while Greens candidate for the Inner West Council, Liz Atkins, has written an op-ed piece calling for more queer people to be elected to the Inner West Council. The New South Wales local government elections will be held on Saturday, the 4th of September.
Speaking of the Inner West Council, the Greens have called for more public toilets to be provided across Sydney's Inner West and for the facilities to offer free sanitary products. In a statement issued by the Inner West Greens, the political party said it was committed to providing public toilets within each council ward, that the toilets should be within walking distance of everyone in the LGA, and that they should offer free sanitary pads and tampons. Greens MP for Newtown, Jenny Leong, said the COVID-19 crisis highlighted the importance of accessible, hygienic public toilets. And you can read more about that at sydneysentinel.com.au.
In a change of pace now, the Sentinel has spoken with former Cockroaches frontman and former manager of The Wiggles about his debut solo album. The Sentinel's music writer, Danny Waterson, caught up with the man in question, Paul Field, over the phone for a chat about his album, Love Songs for Lonely People. Field told The Sentinel the album was recorded at Jimmy Barnes' recording studio in the New South Wales Southern Highlands and that it featured duets with Jimmy Barnes as well as Barnes' daughter Ellie Mae Barnes and country music superstar Casey Chambers, among others. Field also spoke about his time with the Cockroaches, who scored a number of top 40 hits in Australia, including the top 10 single, She's the One. Love Songs for Lonely People is out now through ABC Music.
And those are just some of the stories you'll find online at the Sydney Sentinel. For more news, as well as a huge range of arts and entertainment content, feature articles, interviews, opinion, and queer, vegan, and youth content, visit sydneysentinel.com.au.
You can also find us on Facebook at The Sydney Sentinel, on Instagram at Sydney_Sentinel, and likewise on Twitter at Sydney_Sentinel.
Well, it's another very big, busy week on the Sentinel, Travis. I love some of those stories. And I was really delighted to read Gary Nunn's interview with Yvonne Weldon, who is the first Aboriginal Australian to run for the position of Sydney Lord Mayor, which actually... It's amazing, and it's also shocking, I mean, that it's taken this long. But, like, good on her. And doesn't it sound like she's got so much, you know, experience that she can bring to the role?
She's got a lot going for her, definitely. I was very excited to read this story that Gary did. And the thing that excites me the most, I think, is that, you know, there's a lot of people vying for that Lord Mayor position, you know, like lots of people go for it. And I think in Yvonne, we've actually got somebody who's, like, I think she's got a shot, you know. And if she does get it, I mean, imagine, like, she brings such a wealth of really relevant experience. And the fact that she's an Indigenous woman, I just think it would be an amazing thing for the city of Sydney for that to happen.
It would be incredible for Sydney. Yeah. I mean, I think personally, I think, you know, while Clover is there, she has the job. She just has so much power, such a support base, and she has a big machine behind her. But, I mean, I do think that Yvonne has a very good chance of being elected as a councillor, and to have an Indigenous voice on council would be an amazing thing. So, but look, nobody knows what's going to happen, and we will see on the 4th of September.
Indeed. I love that idea too. I mean, you know, let's say even if she does become a councillor, Yvonne, I mean, that we get a chance to see what she can do and how well she deals with that political sphere. So that'd be great.
That's right. And
the other thing that we were talking about before that you mentioned that really caught your eye was the story about council facilities.
Yes, in the Inner West Council.
Indeed.
And I think that's something. I mean, when I read it, I thought, oh, well, you know, that providing tampons and sanitary pads is something you don't really hear much. I don't recall hearing that at the council level being discussed before, but actually it totally makes sense. And I know of a homeless person who yeah, well, she was homeless. She's not now. And I remember her saying to me that finding tampons was one of the hardest things, actually, while she was homeless. And it was actually easier to source food, you know, from soup kitchens or whatever, than it was to find tampons. So this totally makes sense.
Likewise, I mean, I think for people, whether you just happen to live in that area or I too have a friend who actually lives what they call is the van life, where they actually have everything, in, you know, like pretty much like living in an RV vehicle, but they still rely a lot on public facilities. And I think things like this really make sense. You know, one of the things I love about the Greens, and particularly, you know, people like Jenny Leong and all that, is that they're as much about the small things as they are about the big things in a time, you know, when we are going through difficulty. The small things, I think, really do make a big difference. And you can imagine how, you know, tampons and stuff, they're not cheap. Imagine having to need those sorts of things and just not being able to access them. There's no substitute for it. So these are fantastic moves. Yeah.
For sure. And Jenny is someone that hopefully we'll have on the show in the near future, by the way. So, but who we have on the show this week is Everton Freitas. He trained the dancers in Magic Mike. He's a choreographer. And you did a really special interview with him recently, Travis.
I did. And, you know, look, I've interviewed all kinds of people in my career, you know, from like pop stars, movie stars, politicians, movers and shakers and stuff. My interview with Everton is in my top five interviews of all time because of what a really lovely, genuine perspective. I mean, this guy is like, you'll hear it. It's such an authentic, real person who is connecting people to their sense of self, to their sensuality, and to each other. The perspective he shares is just beautiful. Plus, he loves Sydney as much as we do, and it's really lovely to have all of those things.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's a very big call that he's in your top five because a lot of people. I'm really looking forward to hearing it. Let's take a listen.
Great. Our special guest interview features as part of our continuing series on people with fascinating jobs. He's Brazilian, a dance and movement teacher, and a massive spunk with a great personality. Everton Freitas currently lives and works in Sydney, specialising in teaching Aussies how to find their hips and sensuality in movement. Amongst his fascinating jobs is teaching some of the performers in hit show currently playing in Australia, Magic Mike Live. He joins us in the studio today. Welcome, Everton Freitas, the Sentinel Speakeasy.
Hello, welcome. Thank you. Welcome.
It's fantastic to have you here. I wanted to ask you first to tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Everton. I am from Brazil. I am 30 years old. I am a son of a guy called Francisco and a lady called Jacinta. Both are from Brazil, and I'm a son of the universe, currently living in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. So how did you find yourself in Sydney?
I remember it was back in 2015 or 2014, and I was with my friend Junior in Brazil. And I just Googled it, the better seats, the better quality seats around the road, which you can find the better quality of life. And I found out in that time, Australia was top 10. I could see like three cities, I guess.
Yeah.
All of them from Australia.
Yeah.
And I was like reading about it, and I could not believe it. And I said, oh my God, this is possible. Like no robs, the people have the same about like the rates for payment.
Yeah.
Minimum rate payment was like kind of equal.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, so means if someone work as a cleaner or as a laborer, they can earn the same money as someone work in the office.
Yeah.
And in Brazil, this is very, very different.
Yeah.
People that usually work in construction or cleaner there, they are, the rate is very low, and they are considering like very poor from low class.
I understand. So it's not valued work.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So have you always done what you're doing now? Like you work, you know, in dance and movement. What were you doing back in Brazil?
In Brazil, I used to be a salesman for a communication company.
Yeah.
And also as a part-time job, I used to be a model there. I used to be working with you as a promo staff and model in Brazil.
I can see that. How did you make the transition into teaching dance and stuff? Is that something that's just very natural to you? You always had it?
That is a very good question. People always say, dance has to be natural for you because you are from exotic country and you are Brazilian. You born dance. Yeah. It's in your blood, no?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the perception of people. But the truth is, I decide to be more confident. Back in Brazil, I used to go clubbing with my friends. And I remember when I was start dance and move my body, my friends, they used to make fun of me the way I used to move and say words as, oh, look how ridiculous his dance. It looks like a robot and he's very tall and skin posture like that. And I remember that really hurt me. And I decided to change. I decided, no, I'm gonna change it. And I decided to go to a dance school with a hip hop group.
Yeah.
And I started to learn dance then. And I started to notice also dance helped me to be more confident, even in a social way.
Yeah, even though you were doing the modeling and all that, like it helped you with that as well, I imagine.
For dance for be more better model.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely. More confident because you start know more about your body, feel more comfortable with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And how I changed to teach insights.
Yeah.
Basically, in Brazil, I was salesman and I was to work as a model.
Mm-hmm.
And my hobby was dance. Like every minimum three times per week, I was to attend to a lot of class, part in dance class and also hip hop class.
Yeah.
And I felt in love with this.
Yeah.
And was practicing like going to the social meeting a lot of people, my social life like it give you like a huge boost.
Yeah.
And also I found a lot of networking which people I could connect easily and help me like in my career, also a relationship life, like meeting like girlfriends or friends, people that really you feel good around.
It's a nice way to connect with people, isn't it? Dancing together.
Yes, that's a very interesting point because I remember a guy I met here in Sydney. He said in Brazil, he moved cities. And when he moved to other city, he didn't know anyone in the city. Like as some Brazilians, they do here. Come to Australia, you don't know anyone. You feel alone. And here you don't speak. It's not your own language.
Yeah.
And I remember this guy when he moved cities. The first thing he did, he was to a social dance, partner dance. We used to do partner dance, like a salsa for you guys here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but Brazil, you gave out the name for this.
Yeah.
And he said in one night, he made like 10 friends. And there, he could connect to someone related for his job.
Yeah.
And the next week, he found a job and he found a house. He found everything. And he didn't feel alone anymore because he has the skill of dancing.
Do you feel like you've had that experience in Australia? Like since you've come here, you've started teaching dance and that sort of thing. Have you had that experience where it's helped you meet a lot of people? And I mean, like, I guess we're having this interview now, you know?
I really believe in this power, the network of dance. And I landed in Sydney was February 2017.
Yeah, wow.
And I bought a ticket for a social dance one week after, like 5 days after. Same night, I met a guy called Gilson, and with this guy, he was the one that gave me the first paid job as a dancer. I found here in a social dance, and then we started that, and he was the one that guided me through the dance scene, and he introduced me the ways for work as a dance teacher, and make dance your living.
Yeah, great, great. And that's what you've been doing. So how have you found the Australians that you've been teaching, like how have you found them as students? Like, because, you know, that you were talking about perceptions before, you know, the perception of Brazil is and Brazilians is that, you know, they're naturally sexy and, you know, they've got the movement. Are Australians a little bit uptight maybe, or, you know, how do they go when it comes to sensuality and dancing?
Great question. How Australian go when related sensual dance?
Yeah.
Usually talking general,
yeah,
I notice Australians, like males, talking now about males, okay?
Yeah.
Male men. Yeah. Male Australians.
Yeah.
they grew up like dance is not for men. Yes, they don't grew up with a dance culture. Dance is not for men.
Yeah.
Dance is for girls. They grow with this mindset. But I found some exclusive Australians, which they look dancing in a different perspective. They look dance as, okay, so it's a way for me socialize more, a way for meet people, a way for me be more confident with myself. Or some of those Australians, they decide to be my private student.
Fantastic.
And yes, and the impact the dance made in their life was such incredible. Like
I've seen
guys change the way they move, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way people see him. People start like notice more him. And the feedbacks, all the reviews I get on my Google review, is such incredible. But
do you ever have like emotional moments? Do people have? Can it be an emotional thing sometimes for people, like that they are able to do something that they get emotional?
You mean, for example, they get too emotional in some class? Is that?
Oh yeah, sometimes let's say with your private students,
right?
Do they sometimes, you know, you'd be teaching them and it brings up emotion for them. Does that ever happen? Like, you know, they get a bit teary or something, you know, like for example, I was watching a show the other day and, you know, someone was learning something. It wasn't dance. It was something else. But because they achieved a great result, you know, it made them cry from happiness, you know, like that kind of thing. Have you ever had that happen?
Absolutely. This happened and it's not randomly, but this happened a lot of time.
Wow.
Like saying, oh my God, David, I can't believe it's me. I talked about my student yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was teaching him yesterday and he said, oh my God, now I could feel my body. I could feel now the difference, our perspective you gave me about my sensuality, my confidence, my masculinity.
Yeah.
Every man has to know this. He was he's a very successful businessman, and he has a nice, like, settled life here, in financial way and family way.
Yeah.
But he noticed all of this time in his life, he lost the thing about himself, about looking to himself and develop his confidence and also his masculine sensuality.
Yeah, the connection with the body, yes.
Exactly. And he said, everyone, all the men has to know this.
Yeah.
Because when this situation come up, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And you not capable for that, and this is our natural.
Yeah,
and it's natural for us. And he was the one like was very excited and said, "Look, I you have to show this for the world."
Yeah, absolutely.
For my guys, they have to know this.
That's so fantastic, and it leads me perfectly to the next question. Now, one of the things you've been doing is you've taught some people who some of your students are the people who feature in the Magic Mike live show, which is actually how we first met. We were talking about this. I met you through my work, and you were talking about Magic Mike Live, and you were telling me you have to see the show. Some of the people in it are students of yours. So tell me about that.
So basically about the Magic Mike is one. When I saw the movie for the first time, I really identified with the style. I felt was very good for me as well, something that I became a fan.
Yeah.
And then here in Australia, my first job as a dancer was in a hands night.
Oh, great.
And then I started knowing more about this life. And then I met three types of men.
Yeah.
A stripper, mm-hmm. a dancer, and a magic man. And they are separate. So yeah. A stripper is a type of guy,
yeah.
A dancer is another type of guy, is a magic man is other type of guy.
Yeah.
And I start studying about that. Mm-hmm. And then sadly, I met a guy and he was having partner dance lessons mm-hmm. With me. And then like playing in some party, I just did some move from the Magic Mike yeah. movie. And then he said, "Oh my God, I love this. I want to learn that."
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, so look, you can come for a private session for me, a free private session. Mm-hmm. I show how this does it look like.
Yep.
And then if you like it, you become my student for this style as well. You're going to be my first student."
Right.
And I show him how to do the thing in a confident way, which I call the Magic Mike way.
Yeah.
And he loved it. And he became my student for 2 years, my first private student.
Fantastic.
And yes, and a very curious thing about him, he was in the moment like suffering for depression. It was very hard depression. And he said the lessons from him was something also to help him to fight against the depression, because he said it was of the best time of his week. Yeah. It was the sessions with me.
Yeah. Oh, and great. That, what a yes. lovely thing to hear, right? That's a lovely thing to hear.
Yes. And even for me, like I was not idea how the dance can impact in people's lives. And for me, that was fantastic and like could fulfill me mm-hmm. about my job. Okay, so this is the correct job for me. So I believe this is, I have to keep going with that. And I helping people in a different way, the way yeah. I was acting. And so I said, "Oh, so this is my talent. So I made the difference for people in yeah. their life." And then after that, people started knowing me, the community, the dance community started knowing me, "Oh, the Magic Mike guy, the Magic Mike guy." And people started knowing me about that. And then mm-hmm. suddenly other people started looking for this type of class.
Yeah.
And then I got new students
yeah.
and more students. Mm-hmm. And all my students, I always encourage them, males, to watch the Magic Mike Live.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, some guys think, "Oh, why should I go for a male stripper show?"
Yeah, because they think it's just for girls, right? They just think it's for ladies, yeah. like a hens night thing.
Absolutely. And yeah. I said, "This is for girls." And yeah. I said, "Look, man, have you seen the show?"
Yeah.
"That no, but I think it's not for me." "And why do you think that?"
Yeah.
"Because it's guy dancing sex way."
Yeah.
"And have you seen how many girls goes to the show? And have you seen all the girls reacting when they dance?"
Yeah.
They said, then they start breaking their mind, like,
"Yeah,
oh yes."
That's such a great point, isn't it? That's such a great point. Girls yeah. like, are so desperate to have, like, they so just want to dance with their male partners, and you know, men just don't seem to want to dance, right?
Yes. And then I said, "Look, I myself, I think like that. If I see some guy with a talent, with a woman like look to them and start screaming because they move."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh my God, that guy has a great talent.
It's like a superpower." Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
"Why should I be his enemy?"
Yeah.
"I want to be his friend. I want to see how he does."
I love that. That's so good. That's such a great point.
And I always say to them, "Look, if you are a smart guy, mm-hmm. if you want to understand more about women something you're always looking for a partner in our life, right?
Yeah.
Like a woman,
yeah.
you really have to go to the show because the show is not about a man, it's about a woman. Yes, Travis. That's why I encourage you for go, because you think, oh, this is how men project their masculinity, how they be sensual. But it's opposite. All the idea of the show, behind the idea of the show is understand the woman world and what they like and what they want.
And they, what they really want is a guy who's connected to himself, right? Like he's and connected to her. So that, I really love that. In fact, that was one of the first conversations we had. It was a very random conversation, but I really like what you had to say, which is why I then followed it up and asked to interview you, because I thought you've got such a lovely way of making people feel comfortable about who they are, and I think that's a really lovely thing. So what my final question for you is about what you're doing at the moment. So tell us a bit about, are you currently running a business? Are you... how can people learn more about you?
So at the moment, I am a full-time dance teacher.
Right.
Here in Sydney, I have my own business. It's called Social Dance Coach.
Yeah.
And I'm very active on Instagram. Instagram is basically one of the channels that I find clients and people looking for my job.
Mm-hmm.
I also, you can find me on Google if you type Social Dance Coach.
Yep.
You will see my very simple website from Google. I built that.
It's great. It actually looks good. I've had a look at it. It looks great.
Did you have a look on Google?
I had a look, yeah. And I like it. It's simple. It is what it is, But it's you've got all the important things there, and, you get to see a bit about yourself, which is really nice. I'll include all that information in our podcast notes as well, so people will be able to click and find you easily.
Nice. But the better way to contact me, because I'm very, very active and I dedicate a lot of time on it, is the Instagram. Basically, this is my way of living here in Sydney. I become a full-time dance teacher. This is a dream for me, and also for a lot of people that has passion for dance. A lot of people have passion for dance, and they don't believe that it's possible you live from your passion.
Yeah, right.
So what is your passion, Travis? But I am the one that is the proof that you can live doing your passion.
You absolutely are a great example of that. And that's a perfect way to end our interview today. Everton Fritas, thank you so much for joining us today on the Sentinel Speakeasy. And you're such a great guy. All the information for people to find you will be in our podcast notes. And thank you for speaking with us today.
No worries. It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
Thank you. And that was Everton Fritas, who I spoke with recently. And I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I enjoyed doing it. And what a lovely guy.
Very lovely. And thank you so much for that interview, Travis. Another very interesting guest once again. But interesting story, interesting person. And look, we'd like to put a call out for anyone out there who's got an interesting job. Like Everton. I mean, look, frankly, I kind of think everyone's job is interesting in some way, but if you feel you have an interesting job, we'd love to speak with you, because, it's great hearing these stories why they're doing what they're doing and how they got into it.
Indeed. You might not think that your job is interesting. Maybe you clean windows in skyscrapers, or you operate a train somewhere, or you're a fireman, they're dream jobs for some people. And I'd love to know, we'd both love to know about the ins and outs of that. Get in touch with us, please. Yeah.
So you can get us through the editorial email address, which is editor@sydneysentinel.com.au. So if you'd like to have a chat about your job, or frankly anything, get in touch, and hopefully we can have you on the Sentinel Speakeasy.
Oh, I so look forward to that. I really look forward to that. It's one of my favorite things that we produce and as part of the podcast. Well, that brings us to the end of the latest episode of the Sentinel Speakeasy. New episodes come out each Tuesday, and you can tune in on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Buzzsprout, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember, for more news, as well as arts and entertainment content, feature articles, interviews, opinion, and queer, vegan, and youth content, visit sydneysentinel.com.au.
You can also find us on Facebook at The Sydney Sentinel, on Instagram at Sydney_Sentinel, and on Twitter at Sydney_Sentinel.
Well, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks so much. See you later.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.